Jesus said, "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" In the name of Jesus. Ask, seek, and knock. It seems to be so very simple, this prayer thing that Jesus is talking about. And if truth be told, it is. Prayer's a gift. It's a gift given by the Heavenly Father to his children. But let's be honest, how many of us have a prayer life that we're proud of? Well, perhaps that's not the best way to phrase it. Actually, it's the absolute wrong way to phrase it. To be proud of a prayer life makes it seem as if prayer is a thing of the law. Makes it seem as if it's something that we are supposed to fulfill, as if God's laid it out for us as a service, as a duty, as a thing. And we better get to our best of doing it, because that's what's expected of us, of course, and demanded. And at that point, if that's what prayer actually is, then it's no longer a gift. But prayer is always a gift. It's just that the sinner in us, and all of us, oftentimes, most of the time, we don't see it as such. Now, I could go down that path of admonishing all of us, myself included, for using prayer the same way in which we would use some sort of magical incantation or conjuring up a hocus pocus. If we only say the right things in the right order, then God is bound to give us and hand over what we've asked for. Thinking like that turns God into a giant vending machine up in the sky. Put in your dollar, press the right sequence of buttons, and voila, your package of Rolos just drops into your hand. That, of course, is a danger for us. And if this is the way in which we see prayer, in which you see prayer, in which I see prayer, then it's a call to repentance. It's not what prayer is. It's not who God is. God doesn't just hand over to us everything that we want. He's never promised that. But he has promised to give us what we need. But I don't think that's exactly what Jesus is necessarily talking about in our text. Maybe a little bit, maybe on the peripheries, but it's not his central point, because he doesn't say anything about asking for the wrong things or being greedy or denouncing the covetousness that is alive and well in each and every single one of us. Instead, Jesus is concerned with the fact that we children of the Heavenly Father just don't pray. It isn't that we don't know how to pray. It's that we don't even know what prayer means. We don't ever even understand it as a gift, and we don't understand the giver of the gift. Because notice something in our text for today. The disciples don't go up to Jesus and say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." But they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And those are two very different things. The first would be showing that we have some desire to pray. We just don't know where to begin. So just give us the right words and the right method and the right system, and then we'll take it from there, God. That would be a whole different sort of problem than what actually afflicts us or what Jesus is really concerned about here. Instead, the disciples are just saying, "Lord, teach us to pray." Because we don't have the foggiest idea or inclination or desire about this whole prayer thing. The problem, you see, is not that we don't know how to pray. It's that the sinner doesn't even know what prayer is. Because every other god out there, the ones that are found in those many other official religions, and the ones that are found in the infinite unofficial religions that we make up in our own mind with gods that resemble our own sinful inclinations, all of those other gods out there would have their religion be one of transaction. We do this, then God will do that. It's like we're earning brownie points that we can cash in for a big prize at the end of the day. And then, in that way, prayer just becomes the mode in which we get that prize, as long as we've earned enough tickets. Or prayer becomes a spiritual form of layaway. We promise that we'll do X, Y, and Z if only God will do what we're calling on Him to do. If He'll get us out of this jam, if He'll get us what we want. It's still working in a way of transaction, but instead of paying first, we're just putting it all down on credit. And the problem, of course, is that when we don't get what we want, we never do what we promised to do. Because God didn't keep His side of the bargain that we made with Him, and He never agreed to. Or if we do, by happen chance, actually get our filthy little hearts what they got or what they wanted, we never hold up our side of the bargain, hoping that God will actually forget what we've promised to Him. Either way, it's really an ugly way of doing business, because prayer is never understood as a gift, and God's never understood as a giver. Instead, He's just a big, giant, heavenly businessman that's forced to pay out what we believe we've earned. It's all evil. It's all ugly. It's all really kind of gross, but the sinner doesn't know anything else. Transactional is the only way that the sinner can view his relationship with God. Payment rendered for a service. That's what prayer becomes. But then that's not prayer. It's just a business deal. The disciples in our text, they've been watching Jesus pray for some time now. And that's not how Jesus prays. That's not what prayer is for Jesus. Which completely and utterly baffles them. That's why they ask Jesus, teach us to pray. Because whatever they've been doing in the past, if they had been doing any sort of bargaining with God to begin with, that wasn't prayer. It wasn't what Jesus did. It wasn't the same sort of conversation that Jesus had with His Heavenly Father. And so at the behest of their request, Jesus gives to them what the church for centuries has now called the Lord's Prayer. You want to learn to pray, Jesus asks. Say these words. It's all right there for you. Nothing is left out. Everything that you could ever need or want or desire is included in our Lord's Prayer. For you see, to pray is to come before your Heavenly Father, knowing exactly who He is and what He's about. It's not to cower before an almighty thunderstorm of a God who needs to be tricked or appeased or convinced to give something out that might or might not be good. That's not the way in which the Christian prays. Instead, the Christian comes before God as a dear child would ask their dear father, and lay before Him all of our cares, all of our desires. And it's to boldly and with confidence ask Him for the things that He's already promised that He would give to us. Because it's not as if God will keep His good gifts from us unless we ask Him. For He sends rain upon the just and the unjust alike, and His kingdom will certainly come, and His will most certainly be done, with or without our prayer. But in so doing, we beseech the good Lord above that all of these things would be done in our midst as well, and that when He pours out from His gracious hand all of these gifts that supply us with not just temporal blessings, but eternal ones as well, that we would recognize that they all come from His hand, a hand that gives out to us out of fatherly love, not out of a tyrant's fist. And if this is all too difficult for us to understand, us sinners, and it really is, let's be honest, Jesus then goes ahead and He uses, in our text for today, the example of how God actually truly does freely give without price. And He uses that example of the temporal fathers that we all have in our own lives. And I know, some of us have probably had some pretty awful fathers, I get it. And some of our fathers probably didn't know how to give good gifts They only worked in the way of transaction. But the example that Jesus is using here is the example of how a father always should act. For even if you had a father who wasn't really a good father, you certainly understood that that was not how a father should be acting toward his children. And so what sort of father would give a child a snake instead of a fish, or a scorpion instead of an egg? Which is really just to say, what sort of an earthly father, when his child comes up to him and asks for something good, would in turn give him something evil? What Jesus is saying here, in the simplest sort of way, is that if the fallen sinner, the one who's a father, knows what it means to give good instead of evil, how much more does your heavenly Father, who loves you with a love that far exceeds the most magnanimous of earthly fathers? So teach us to pray, dear Jesus, because we can't do it on our own. All that we poor sinners know and understand is transaction and cunning, is swindle and earned wages. We don't know how gifts work, and we don't understand that we would have a God up there who's a father instead of a tyrant. And we don't understand how we could stand before the Almighty of Almighties with our empty sack and ask for it to be filled to the brim with all good things. And we don't understand how his nose and his maybe a little bit laters could actually be for our benefit. And we don't understand, certainly don't understand, how in the world he could ever actually work through the evil things of this world in order to bring about our ultimate good. Teach us to pray, dear Jesus. Because all that we know is how to work for things that we want. All that we know is how to offer something in exchange for something else, but that's not prayer. In prayer, we acknowledge who God is, meaning that we call God who he's made himself to be, which is a father, which is our father, which is our heavenly father, who has not only just promised us everything that we need to support this body and life, but has also promised to us everything that we need for eternal life. And yes, absolutely, a price did need to be paid for all of these good things, but your heavenly Father isn't going to ask you to pay a single red cent. He isn't going to dangle a carrot out in front of you. He isn't going to expect some sort of payment. The price has already been paid. The transaction, it's already been completed, but it's been done by and through Jesus, God's Son. And so teach us to pray, dear Jesus. Teach us to come before our Heavenly Father as dear children always should. Teach us to know you as the one who's already paid the price for all the things that we could ever need or want or ask for. Teach us to give thanks, Lord Jesus, for the roof over our head and the food in our bellies. Teach us to give thanks in good times and bad times. Teach us to give thanks for the wonderful steak and for the hamburger helper. Teach us to give thanks for that new pair of kicks and for the old shoes that have been worn out 10 years ago. Teach us to pray, dear Jesus. Teach us to ask our Heavenly Father for the greater things of forgiveness that you've already won for us through your death and resurrection. Teach us to ask confidently for the good and right preaching that we might know you more fully. Teach us to ask confidently for the right administration of the sacraments so that we might receive the gifts of the cross in time and space here amongst us. Teach us about the love of our Heavenly Father, the sacrifice of his dear Son, in whom we have salvation free and clear. Teach us of the Holy Spirit, that we might receive all of these good gifts through faith, and that we might be confident that even when our prayers are soiled with sin, when we don't have a clue what we should even pray for, that we might be comforted that he will speak to our Heavenly Father with groans too deep for words, expressing in the boldest of ways that which we need. Teach us humbly to pray in your dear name, Jesus, knowing you to be our mediator, knowing that when our Father hears our prayers, they come to his ears through your mouth, knowing for certain that he will grant us every good thing, not for our sake or because of our merit, but for your sake and for the merit that you won and paid for on the cross. Teach us to trust your word and your promises, dear Jesus. Teach us what it means that we have a Father who is the giver of good gifts. Teach us to receive all these good gifts with thanksgiving. Yes, teach us to pray, dear Jesus. And he does. In the name of Jesus.